Welcome to Revitalize and Replant with Mark Clifton, where we equip pastors to take their churches from declining to thriving by pointing them to a new future and a new hope. Join us weekly for encouragement and practical advice in your pastoring journey. So here we are with another episode of Revitalize and Replant with Mark Clifton. And we're talking about characteristics of a revitalizing pastor. This has been interesting. We've had a couple of other episodes about this very thing already. And we're talking about a number of characteristics, 12, 13 characteristics, I don't know, that we've kind of pinpointed. And obviously there are more than that, but those are the ones that we're kind of narrowing in on. And we have a special guest with us that's helping us to wade through all of this. So, Mark, why don't you introduce him?
It is Mark Halleck, ladies and gentlemen. Give it up for
Mark Halleck. Oh, man, guys. I feel all so right. loved. Boy, so loved.
That's a golf clap if I ever heard one.
That's true, man.
That was a pretty weak clap.
Mark is the pastor of the Calvary Church in Inglewood, Colorado. Church that was replanted. He replanted it 15 years ago and has helped replant and plant 30 churches across the mountain states. And we are here in his palatial podcast studio, otherwise known as the youth room of the basement. And so we're down here.
On our white couch.
On a white, well, it used to be white.
It used to be white, yeah.
No, it used to be white.
It's but like definitely not white anymore.
Ever explain to me why, of all the rooms churches would put couches, they would put them in a room with teenagers?
That's a great question.
I don't quite understand that.
That's a great question.
Let's don't go that way. But anyway.
It's always a couch that's been donated.
I know, that's true. Yeah. It's been donated.
Wasn't any good anyway.
Right. Oh. Along with the tube TV that has the VCR under that doesn't work
that's
anymore.
That's right. Figured the church could use it.
That's right. Yeah. Hey, we are here. So thank you, Mark, for letting us be at your church.
I love you guys. So glad you're here.
We're
awesome.
Going to take this this podcast on the road. We are, the home office is Wahoo, Nebraska.
Wahoo.
But we do travel across North America and bring this to the most wonderful places like Inglewood, Colorado.
Like Inglewood.
And we're coming soon to a town near you. Yeah. If you would like to have us come to your town, all you have to do is just email us.
Hey, let us know.
Let us know.
We'll come.
We'll come. We've got nothing else to do.
What else are we doing?
Yeah, and clean the guest room. That's important.
And we'll do it. Okay, but we're talking about the characteristics of a revitalizing pastor.
Let's kick it off and start about this characteristic of, and we've used this term, and I'd like for you to explain a little bit more about it. What is a resourceful generalist?
I don't know. Do you know? Did you look
you
this
give
one?
It a
no,
shot.
I
give
do.
It.
I do know. Basically, when you go to a declining church, you're going to have to do a lot of things you don't know how to do.
Yep.
You're going to have to do a lot of things you don't want to do. You're going to have to do a lot of things you've never done before.
Right.
Right. And that's the first day you're there. Okay. Then it gets real complicated.
It's true.
I mean, when I went to Warnell in Kansas City, I had to figure out and had to be taught how to restart their air conditioner because it kept quitting all the time. And there was a certain trick to it, right? I had to learn how to restart the furnace and change the blowers, motors, or whatever. I didn't change the blower motor, change the filter. But there were always problems with the blower mower.
Yep,
it would short out, that kind of thing. I had to learn, you know, the quirks of the toilets and how to deal with those.
Totally.
And there were times they overflowed. And I had to be, I mean, we could go on and on and on. That's just the mechanics of the church. And then I had to figure out how to lead music. There was no one there to lead music.
Yep.
And so I had to find some music online that I could use and figure out how I'm going to do it. You cannot be in a revitalizing situation and say, well, I don't know how to do that, so I can't do it.
Yep.
Or that there's no one else to do that, so we're not going to do it. There are some things that have to be done.
Yeah.
It's like if you open a business, right?
Yeah.
You're not
going right.
You're not going to know everything about how to run that business day one. You're going to learn as you go.
Yes.
You learn your way into the future. And if you don't know how to do it, you either learn how to do it or you find someone who can
That's
help
right.
you do
And
it.
There's going to be all kinds of things. Listen, there's going to be areas we are gifted in and there's all kinds of things we're not gifted in. Now, I don't know. We haven't actually talked about this. Are you a fix-it guy? Like, are you good at fixing
stuff? Oh, gosh, no.
I'm not at all.
No.
I can't do anything.
No, I can't do anything.
Yeah, I can't do anything.
No.
So, I mean, I had to learn to do a few things. But I also met some buddies actually in the neighborhood here who I saw out working on their cars and said, hey, man, we made friends real quick.
Real quick.
And got help. But part of it was on me.
Right.
I couldn't just say, man, whatever, we're not going to deal with that. Listen, if you're going to lead that church, you've got to own the fact that, man, being a resourceful generalist is part of my call. That's what I got to do. There's
right.
stuff that needs to happen.
Right.
You know, we had, when I came, we have a preschool here that's been here forever, and they have a little chapel going on, and I quickly realized the expectation was I need to lead chapel once a week. Well, guess what? I needed to figure out, okay, how does this work? What do I need to do? I get my guitar out and learn some kids' songs, and here we go.
Whoa. You lead chapel for three-year-olds?
Hey, baby, you have no idea.
You lead chapel for 3 year olds. Listen,
we do. And I love it. Do you know I have a kids' album? I've got a kids' album.
Are you serious?
Called Songs from Joyland. You can get it. I wasn't planning on plugging myself.
I can go to Amazon and get your kids' album.
You can go to Amazon, Spotify, wherever you want. Songs from Joyland.
Is it you singing?
It's me singing. I wrote all the songs. I'm not kidding. I'm actually not kidding.
Are you dressed up like a tomato or a cucumber?
Like a bear.
Like a bear. Like
I'm a bear. I'm a big bear.
You're a big bear.
I'm not kidding.
Songs from Joyland.
We love it. Listen, I love. You don't believe me. I'm dead serious.
You know, a few weeks ago, I was privileged to interview the Gettys on a podcast.
Oh, wow.
So now I'm interviewing the bear from
Songs from Joyland. Give it a shot. I did it during COVID, by the way, for our kids' ministry.
Yeah.
Just a way to bless them. But here's the thing. As a pastor, this is another thing. Kids matter. And you got to figure out ways, man, to love on those kids.
They do. Kids matter a lot.
You know what I'm saying? So anyway.
I agree.
You got to get creative.
That is awesome. I did not know that.
Hey, listen,
one of the things that you're talking about reminds me of this idea that needs are the mother of opportunity. Mm. And so needs aren't a hindrance in your ministry, or the conflicts, like, you know, the plugged up toilet, are not a conflict in your ministry. They're an opportunity to maybe connect with somebody who can help you and needs an opportunity, or needs someone to come into their life and give them a reason of value.
That's
and,
good. Let me give you an
example, though. I was dealing with a church one time that I had declined in attendance from about 400 to about 40 over decades, and the neighborhood had changed drastically, and there were actually halfway houses in the neighborhood, and the pastor kept office hours, and they had a secretary, and they were having some difficulties. They wanted me to come and do some consulting with them, and so I went to visit them, and I could tell from the neighborhood, it was a very challenging neighborhood, but you know, the church was locked down like Fort Knox, and I get that in a way, but it seemed very, very cold and unfriendly. And so I hit the button and, you know, talked to the secretary and got into the inner sanctum of the security of the building. And the pastor was sweet and kind and in his study. And so we talked about the challenges of the neighborhood and what it means to be in a neighborhood of halfway houses and drug rehabilitation and all that. And he'd been there for a number of years. And he just said, you know, I just don't know how to do that. And he said, our people don't know how to do it. As though the fact that they didn't know how to do it was an excuse for it.
Right, exactly.
Not to be their problem.
Totally.
And that's what we're talking
about. That's what we're talking about.
You got to learn how to do it. You got to go. There are all kinds of resources to help you know how to do that, or to talk to other churches who want to help you do that. Yep. But just staying behind a locked door in your study saying, man, we just don't know how to do it.
That's right.
That is not an option.
You know what? And at the root of this is a heart posture of humility that says, you know what, Lord? I'm here as your servant. I'm here to serve these people. And even if I'm not good at stuff, God, I want to serve and do what needs to be done. And so we need that to cultivate that humble heart.
You know, I had quite, and but Dan knows this. Dan and I go back 45 years together, and we've done a lot of things together. Dan knows I used to do puppets. I'm not ashamed of that.
Listen,
I still have some. Don't
I
you?
Hope there's some video
many,
out there of this.
Many
you still have some.
I still
admit
have
it.
Some puppets. Yeah. In fact, I collect ventriloquist dummies. I'll never forget.
What
this.
Do you
I'll,
not
I will,
collect?
I collect everything.
Now that is a little weird.
I will never forget the day when the Sears catalog came. I was about 8 years old, and you know how you open it up and you circle what you
want. Oh yeah.
And I saw what I wanted. I wanted the Danny O'Day doll with the album on how to be a ventriloquist.
That's what
I
wanted.
So I circled it. And I handed it to my dad, who was a pastor and very serious man.
Yeah.
And so he was, all right, I'll see what you want. And I had dog-eared the page, right? So he went to the page, and I'll never forget the look on his face when he saw the Danny O'Day doll circled. He looked at me, he looked at that, and he just shook his head no, like, there's no way.
Probably freaked there's him no out a way. Little bit.
Freaked him out. Anyway, a couple years later, I got one. And listen, chicks dig guys real quick. No, they really don't. But if I'm at a flea market or something and I see a ventriloquist doll, I have to buy it.
You got to buy it.
But I will tell you this. It is, even though you think it's going to be funny and a good idea, it is not a good idea to put that ventriloquist doll like in the pantry. So when you travel and your wife opens it on that morning that you're gone and he's staring at her, or worse yet, I actually did this one time. I left and I stuck it in the bed. So when she pulled down the bed after I was, it was, Don't do that.
Great way
what does
to serve
this have
your wife
to do
right
with
there?
Resourceful Jeez, generalist?
I have no
I'm
idea.
Just trying to figure that out.
I have no idea. Oh, puppets. I do puppets.
Okay.
So then I transitioned.
We're back,
I transitioned from ventriloquist dummies to puppets because thanks to the Muppets, puppets became cool.
Okay. All so right? it was. They were
so,
cool
and
at one
I
point.
Actually,
okay.
I actually did puppets. I actually have made money.
Like voices and stuff?
Yeah, the whole bit.
The whole deal.
I made money. And I, wow. I went around and another friend of mine, and we did puppet shows and birthday parties and bar mitzvahs and things like that. So anyway, since I do puppets,
okay.
and you dress like a bear and do music,
listen,
we can go on the
this
road.
This is
this
the road,
is a match made
this
in
this is perfect.
The Lord's
heaven.
Given us a vision right
this
now.
Is,
bears listen, and creepy puppets.
Child evangelism has no idea what's ahead for it. Right
and if
now.
You can add some peppermint stick candy to this, you know.
That's right.
You've made
Dan's
it.
Dan's got his thing. Okay.
We've
let's
lost,
talk,
we've
let's
lost
talk about.
Our,
okay, that's
we've,
right.
Let's
we've
talk about
our,
the second point that we want to get into.
We've already lost our audience.
I'm not sure that we can even talk about this because it's tactical patience.
I don't have time.
Which I have a lot with working with you guys. Let's talk about tactical patience.
Oh man, we could spend so much time on that. It is so important. Tactical patience means just because I don't change it doesn't mean I agree with it. And I don't have to change everything right now. I can't change everything right now. It's wisdom to know what to change. Actually, Dan, I think it is some way a military term. I want to be careful about this. I'm not really, my son's in the Air Force, but I'm not terribly versed in military terms. But I think it has to do with being a military term and your tactical patience. Basically, you know, from a sniper in the Second World War, you know, you had to be careful when you took your shot because once you took it, you would be known where you are. So you had to make sure you didn't waste that, so to speak.
Yeah.
And so that's a kind of a terrible analogy for church. But basically, if you act too quickly and too boldly on something that doesn't matter,
right.
you're not going to be around to act on things that do matter.
That's right. That's
and so
right.
you have to have that tactical patience.
Okay, listen. Let's talk touchdown Jesus for a second.
I want to hear about touchdown
Jesus. Okay, touchdown
Jesus.
Okay.
Here we go.
So if you were to come in, and some of you listeners, maybe you've seen this if we've hung out.
I just saw it.
You just saw it.
I just saw
yeah,
it.
You just saw touchdown
I'll
Jesus.
I'll never get that out of
okay,
my head.
No, you won't.
My mind.
Touchdown Jesus is about a 12-foot painting.
That's right.
Fresh out of like 1973, maybe,
right.
of Jesus.
Right.
Blonde hair, blue eyes, the whole thing.
Right.
That was on the front wall. The first thing you would see when I came to this church, when you walked in, was touchdown Jesus.
And actually, guys and ladies, it really is a picture of Jesus painted. And he does, as he said, he's blonde and blue eyed. And his hands are up as though he's making the symbol for a touchdown.
Right, that's why we call him
just
touchdown.
Just like Notre Dame.
Yeah, that's why we call
okay.
him touchdown.
I mean,
Jesus.
He's not making that yeah. up. He's not being facetious about it. He Jesus with his
yeah,
hands
yeah, that's
raised.
That's right. That's right. That's right.
Like yeah. It is a touchdown.
Yeah, that's right. And let's just say, you know, it's not a painting. I think in my flesh, let's just say I would have preferred probably to take touchdown Jesus down. Okay.
Yes.
But here's what I knew. I knew the woman who painted that picture had been the organist, by the way, for 35 years.
Right.
And was still in the church.
Right.
And it was, I knew the Lord convicted me very quickly. Listen, Mark, if you're going to shepherd in the way of Christ in this church, you need to love the people. This stuff actually doesn't matter that much in my, you know. And so we kept touchdown Jesus up for 3 years, okay? Knowing that woman, that it would break her heart if we took down touchdown Jesus, right? It would also tick off probably her family, who made up half the church at that point. And so I can remember we kept touchdown up, and it was just a constant reminder of what the heart of revitalization is about: loving God's people, being faithful with the things he's called us to. And then fast forward, I was able to blessed to do her funeral, and her sweet family was finally like, listen, thank you for keeping that up, but you can take that picture down. In fact, please do take that down. But I've kept that massive picture of touchdown Jesus in my office every day. It reminds me the heart of revitalization is loving God's people, being wise in patience, being tactical in that. Because listen, not all changes are good changes.
And let's be honest, many times we want to make changes because of our pride.
That's right.
We don't
That's
want
right.
our friends and our peers seeing a picture like that in a church we pastor.
That's right.
So it has to do with our pride. And sometimes
yep.
God just wants to work on our pride a little
Amen.
Bit.
Amen. Totally.
And so just because you don't change it doesn't mean you agree with it.
That's
and
right.
it doesn't mean it's going to always be that way. It's just that you know this is not the time to change
yeah.
that.
Yeah, God's not going to, listen, whether touchdown Jesus stayed up or not, That's not what's going to change this church, right?
Right.
That's not, and so there's this lie we believe that somehow if it looks cool and gets
right.
some paint, what? Listen,
right.
that's all fine, But listen, what you need is the power of God to move. And God's not going to bless a church and leadership that's not of Him.
And look, we'll do a whole podcast. Kyle, make a note of this. We'll do, if the Lord does not return, we'll do a, and if He does return, Kyle, you go ahead and do it after I'm gone. But we'll do a, sorry about that. I'm sorry.
He's here all week, folks.
I'm here all week. That's right. Sure to tip your waiter. If we'll do a podcast, you know, an entire podcast on that at some point in time. On how to do how to maintain tactical patience and not move too quickly. Yeah. I think guys really need some help with that in their life.
That's good.
I hear it all the time. That's they just good. Don't know how to pace it. They
no, that's right. Not, it's pacing.
They don't know how to pace it, yep. And they never get it right. Some of them lag too far behind.
Yep, yep.
They never take down touchdowns.
That's right.
Jesus.
That's right.
And some take it down the very first Sunday.
Exactly.
And man, you just and the other thing I want to do a podcast on is church naming, because some guys put all their credibility as a pastor, mm-hmm. and we got to change the name of this church.
Yeah, that's right.
And they don't realize how deeply attached people are to that
to their name. That's right.
And really, again, it may be First Baptist Church, all right? You know, Baptist has a bad name, yada, yada, yada. So we're going to change it to something really unique like Cross Point. And I know there are Cross Point churches out there. Yeah. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to pick that one, but, you know, it's not.
No, whatever. Yeah, but it's true.
It's true. And so we think if we just change the name to the Cross Point Jesus the Way Fellowship Church, yeah. then all these lost people that have been waiting for a name change, they're going to say, oh, now we can go to that church. They don't care why you
call
don't give, it.
They don't care at all. No,
they don't right. care at yeah. all. That's and basically right. what you do is when you change the name, I had the chance to change the name at Warno Road because there was only 18 people left. And and so I did. I changed it to the Church at Brookside.
Really?
Because
I didn't know
that
this.
Was the neighborhood we were in,
okay.
was Brookside.
Okay.
So I got the association, the Baptist Association, to give me some money, and we made a big, huge colored banner called the Church at Brookside, and we put it up over the original sign. And so I was out there taking a picture of this big, huge colored banner, said the Church at Brookside. I had a new website, the Church at Brookside.
Yep.
And above the door of Warno Road Baptist Church, carved in stone, it said Warno Road Baptist Church. And we were actually on Warno Road.
Right.
And so I'm standing out there and I'm thinking, I'm the biggest idiot in the world. This church has been here since 1921. Mm. It's on Warno Road. It says it in the concrete on the door, above the door. Just because I hang a banner out there doesn't change anything.
That's right.
So I took the banner down and I was done with that. And I thought, you know what? As this church comes back to be a place where God is honored and glorified, I want the community to know that Warno Road came back. I want the name redeemed, not just the building. Yep. And so I'm so grateful that now, all these years later, as that church is thriving and doing so well, that Warno Road is still its name.
Amen.
It's not like, well, Warno Road had to die. We had to bring in this new trendy name.
Yep, I love it.
Now,
listen, we've taken hits on Calvary.
That's
as
right.
we've grown, people are like, why in the world do you keep the name Calvary?
Yeah.
And I would say, first of all, it's the best name you could have. I
mean, amen.
It's the gospel. It's the cross. But also, the biggest thing is this. The last thing I want is to try to be cool and trendy.
That's right.
And you know what? God loves to use weakness.
Yeah.
And so, no, let's keep the name Calvary, even though there's Calvary chapels everywhere out here in the West.
Right.
And watch what God does.
Yeah. We'll do a whole podcast on pacing and on name changing, because name changing... Tom Rainer and I always disagreed on that. He really felt like the name change was cool. I never really wanted to do it. You know, it's an opinion.
Sure,
it's either
totally.
Way.
Yeah.
But tactical patience is you don't come in there and change the name right away. That can take all of you can just burn through so much credibility by trying to change the name and get very little in return for it.
Yep.
Well, and the other thing, too, is the name is also important to the community, even if not just the church, but the community, even if they're not involved in the church, it's still part of their community.
Yeah, that's good,
right.
Man.
It has
that's
been
true.
For a long time.
All right, let's wrap this up. We've been talking about characteristics of a revitalizing pastor. We're going to come back in an upcoming episode and talk more about that, and we hope that you will join us because lots of good stuff to come, as you've already noted in the past few episodes. Also, we want to encourage you to subscribe to our podcast.
Actually, Dan, we want to beg them to subscribe.
I was trying to use a pastoral term.
You know, it's kind of like, you know, please.
Yeah.
Please, right now. Just
please, we need your help.
We need your help.
Right yeah. Now. So whatever it takes, please click the button and subscribe to our podcast. And we'll be back at an upcoming episode, and we'll talk more about these characteristics of a revitalizing pastor. And we hope to see you then. Take care.
Thanks for joining us today on Revitalize and Replant. This podcast is brought to you by the North American Mission Board, where we help dying or struggling churches regain health for the glory of God and the good of their communities. If you found this conversation helpful, don't forget to subscribe to the podcast on your favorite platform. To learn more about becoming a replanting pastor or to explore resources about revitalization for your own church, visit churchreplanters.com.